at the men's retreat. But for obvious reasons, I didn't see others of you. We had good preaching. We had good music. And part of the music is here, Evan. And we had good fellowship. We had lots of fun. We had three people who made it on the crates to the top. The first was David. Is he here? There he is. All right, give him a hand. The second was me, and I won the age category. But the third one, it was actually a race between Jed and John won, and then we said, John, keep going. And so he went up farther, and he grabbed the, what do you call those things like this? What's that called? Girder, truss, okay, and did pull-ups. So let's give John a hand. Yeah, we had good time, and we rode bikes, mountain bikes. Those were awesome, and did some other stuff. It was very great. And we know that you had good music here and good preaching here. Thank you, John. John Fraser. And I think probably a lot of that was overshadowed by what happened on Sunday night, what we heard about Monday morning from Las Vegas, I think. And lets us know, if in case we forgot, there's evil in the world, Satan is active, and men need to be delivered from sin, right? We need to be delivered from sin. It's right inside of us. And God has us here for a reason to do that. And one of the ways we are to tell the gospel, we're to share Christ with people. But isn't it great that some of the things that we do to share Christ are natural things and things that are easy to do, such as eat? How many of you do that regularly? You eat. Okay? Did you go to college for that? You learned that quite young, right? How many actually eat every day? Unless you're purposely fasting. You eat multiple times in a day, even three times a day, plus a snack or coffee. Good. We're good at this. We can do this part. Eating is important. And eating is a big part of life, right? It's not just fuel for us. It's part of being together. It's how we get to know one another. It's how we accept one another. It's how we enjoy one another. It's how we celebrate one another. When we meet, we eat, and we eat when we meet. That's one of the things we do. Can we have the next slide? Oh, wait a minute. Go back to the picture. There we go. Can you see everybody in there? We got some of our folks there. It's in one of our homes. It's actually Caleb and Sage's house. And we want everybody to be in everyone's home. That's part of what we do. We celebrate together. We eat, and eating is part of celebration. Eating is part of accepting one another and knowing one another. Now, Jesus asked the question, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And what's the answer? Who gave the answer to that question? Peter, what did he say? Oh, he said, people say, they say you're a great prophet, like Jeremiah or one of the great prophets. But he said, what about you? Who do you say to them? And he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, your answer is correct. It wasn't revealed to you by men, but by God, our Father in heaven. He's been revealed it to you. Now, what did people say that Jesus came to do? What did the Son of Man come to do? In fact, let's fill in the blank. Let's ask this question and fill in the blank. And you tell me, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's right. What else? The Son of Man came. Okay. Well, let's look at some of these here. You knew this one, right? The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Is that true? Yes. Was that? That was his purpose, right? To seek and save what was lost. What else? Okay. Well, I'm looking exactly for this phrase out of the Bible. The Son of Man came. The Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So your answer was correct, but I was looking for the words exactly. There's one more where it says the Son of Man came. The Son of Man came what? The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Well, that's something I can do, right? Can you do that? Eat and drink? He came eating and drinking. What does that mean? The Son of Man came eating and drinking. He's human. But he came to earth to eat and drink among people. I think he's in the middle. There's no halo on him, but he's eating and drinking with people. What does it mean when you eat and drink with somebody? In our culture, it's not quite as significant as in that culture, but what does it mean? You could say that the Son of Man came eating and drinking because that's how he connected to people. That's how people got to know him and he got to know people and how he got to show people that he loves them, that he accepts them, that he's receiving them, that they can have fellowship with him. And so one of the ways to say that is the purpose of the Son of Man was to, he came to serve. The purpose of the Son of Man was to save. But the method, how he did it, how he came to serve and save and connect with people was to eat and drink. The good news is that you and I already know how to do that. If you eat with someone, what does that mean? What's implied? What is felt? These are old cartoons, but I think many of us have seen them. It implies that you are receiving people, that you're accepting people, that you're friends with them, that you care about them, that you have fellowship with them, that you're family. That's what eating and drinking means. That's why when Jesus ate with sinners, it was so shocking. When he ate with tax collectors and sinners, people were shocked. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were happy, but the religious people were not. How can you do that? Are you approving of them? Are you accepting them? Are you saying that God accepts sinners? Does God close his eyes to sin? Is that what you're saying when you accept these people? It was so shocking. Now, we're looking at it from the advantage of time, the future, thinking of that. How many of you measure your life in years? Okay, a few of us measure their life in months, right? Some of us in decades, none of us yet in centuries, but can you imagine measuring your life in hours? How old is Joyce? Joyce Marie. Do the math. 3 o'clock, and this is 11 o'clock. Yeah, so 8 hours. But Jesus came to earth. He didn't live very long. He didn't minister very long, 3 years. 3 and a half, but he spent much of his time eating and drinking with people in order that what he came to do on the cross and his teaching, the people could really believe it. They could feel it. God actually does love me. But what about my sin? What does God do about my sin? How can God love me and take care of my sin? So we have to think about that a little bit. What is sin? For one thing, it's lawlessness. 1 John 3:4. Sin is lawlessness. In other words, sin is rejecting God's right to rule, God's sovereignty. It's rejecting God. If you reject God's sovereignty, you're rejecting God. You're rejecting his kingdom. So can someone get restored to God, get close to God, and still reject his sovereignty? No. And so sin is a big problem. It's not just the penalty of sin that's a problem. It's sin itself, because sin is a rejection of God. And so what we need is we need to be saved from our sin, and our basic sin is a rejection of God. What did Jesus say in John 8:34? Everyone who sins is what? A slave to sin. And sin is a strong and harsh master. We don't have the power to set ourselves free from sin. But that's what Jesus came to do. He came to set us free from our sins. And not just from the penalty of our sins, but from sin itself. That's our message to the world. And by Jesus eating with sinners, he was saying, yes, you can be accepted by God. Yes, your sin can be taken away. The barrier between us and God is sin, and Jesus removes that sin so that we can be restored to him. God wants sinners to repent, to draw near to him through the covenant. Now, in the Old Testament, especially in the prophets, in the latter prophets, they're always talking about the people of Israel, how they're very religious. They have all these ceremonies. They're outwardly religious, but he said, your hearts are far from me. And it's hard for religious people to know when their hearts are far from God. And so what God did is he would punish them. And in order to show his displeasure with their behavior, that would cause them to repent. And then they would return, and when they returned, he would restore them. And so this goes on and on again. This cycle is repeated over and over in the Old Testament. Punish, repent, return, restore. Now, has human nature changed since the Old Testament till this? No. Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament, but human nature has not changed. It has not changed at all. And so, let's look at a story where Jesus calls someone to himself. I'll read the first verse and you in italics, and you read the verse after that, okay? This is Mark chapter 2. We know this story. Mark chapter 2, verse 14. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector booth. Who is this? This is Matthew. His name is Levi Matthew. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. Verse 15. While Jesus was still having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for they were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. This story is included in Matthew, and then he adds this also, where Jesus says to them, I want you to go and learn what this means from the Old Testament, from Hosea 6, verse 6. Go and learn what this means. He's saying this to whom? The religious leaders, the teachers of the law. He says, you don't know what this means. You don't know what the prophets were telling you. You don't know. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. They didn't know this. What was the purpose of the law? To show that everyone is a sinner. That all of us need to repent. That we all need to return to God and be restored. And only God can do it. And he does it through the promises that that gave in the Old Testament that was fulfilled by Jesus on the cross. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That's how it happens. But the very purpose of God is not to declare some people righteous and some people unrighteous. All are unrighteous. But that to call sinners to repentance and to God's mercy and be restored to the knowledge of God. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. God isn't concerned about the religious system. The whole purpose is that people would know God. That's what the whole religious system was for, to show us that we're sinners. Sinners are between us and God. Only God can remove that sin. And then when he removes it, we can have fellowship with him. We can know him. Oh, I'm going crazy here. This is not showing the same thing. I'm sorry. God wants people to know him. He wants them to be in a personal relationship with him. He wants sinners to return to him. Therefore, God punishes them to wake them up so that they'll realize their sin and repent and return. The people were outwardly religious, but far from God. The tax collectors and sinners repented. The religious people didn't. Do you understand that? The significance of that? The people who knew they were sinners came to Jesus and were forgiven. The people who thought they were righteous stood back and judged Jesus. They were not saved. Go to the next verse, please. Luke 19. Another story. We're familiar with this. Again, let's read it. I'll read the italics and you read the next. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. This is Luke 19, verse 1. Now, 2, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. The next verse, please. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, and short men wanted to know Jesus too, he could not because of the crowd. Everybody's taller than him. Verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. See, he was short, but he was clever. He knew where he was going, right? Okay. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to praise God. No, they began to mutter and complain. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner, not just a tax collector, a chief tax collector. He's probably Levi's boss. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. And that's where the verse comes. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. The next one. I must stay at your house today. I will receive your hospitality today. I will eat with you. I will show you that I accept you. And Zacchaeus accepted his acceptance because the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. Can you imagine how this riled people up? The sinners were happy and the religious people were not. Luke tells us that John the Baptist came ministering, calling people to repentance. And many of the people received him and were baptized. But others rejected his purpose and said, I'm not a sinner. I don't need to be baptized. And those same people rejected Jesus. The ones who received John's baptism received Jesus. The one who rejected John's baptism rejected Jesus. Jesus practiced eating with the people he was trying to reach, and he taught his disciples to do this. In fact, he ordered them to do it. And when he sent them out in pairs, he said, when you go, when you enter a town and are welcomed, what? Eat what is set before you. Heal the sick. And tell them the kingdom of God is near. Now, he hasn't given me the power of healing, but he did give me the power to eat. And he's given that to you too. So you can eat with people. And you can receive their hospitality as well. Now, some of our friends are afraid to come to our houses because they are afraid they might get something that will make them religiously defiled. So they might not come to your house if you're talking about some of our Muslim friends. But some of them will. Well, you can always go out to eat, or if they invite you, you could eat something with them. But don't make an excuse, oh, I need a new kitchen, or our house isn't messy, it's messy and all that kind of stuff. Be creative. If you don't want to invite them to your house, invite them out to eat. Right? You can do both, either one. And it doesn't have to be a full meal. Maybe it's just for a snack. Maybe it's just coffee and a conversation. Because the key thing is not the food. The key thing is the fellowship, showing that you accept people, that you love them, and that God loves them where they are. That's the key thing. And then, not only did he tell us to eat with the people we're trying to reach with the gospel, the people who are outside of church and outside of Christ, but he said, do this. With those of you who are the body, those of you who are the church, he said, eat together. And when you eat together, when you come together and you eat together, remember me. That's what we're going to do today. The Last Supper became the example for what we call the Lord's Supper. Every time you as a body, a family of God, the family of families, eat together, remember me. It's because it's showing that God is accepting us and we are to accept one another. That God has made a way that sin can be removed. We can't do it, but God can do it. God can remove our sin and bring us into a relationship with him. Now, if you don't know if your sins are removed, then please talk to me. If you're not sure if you trusted Christ, please talk to me afterwards, and we can talk about that. You can know from the scriptures how to believe in Christ and receive his gift of forgiveness. But for us who have, and for us who are going to be taking the communion together, there's some action steps we want to learn from this lesson. We're in the Blessed series. Of how it's an evangelistic outreach, and we want to reach the people outside. And so there's some action steps that we want to take. Three of your meals this week. So how many of you eat 7 days a week? Three times a day? What's that? Do the math. 21. And if you have a snack every day, let's say it's 28. Can you take three of those and intentionally eat with someone else that you don't normally eat with? And one of those will be someone outside our church, and two of those in the church. Can you do that? How many of you can do that? Think about it, pray about it, and this week say, I will have one meal or one coffee or a bagel or something with someone who's not in our church. Remember, we had a list. We started off, what's the B? Begin with prayer. Bless, begin with prayer. So it's prayer, but they wanted the word, the letter B, so they said bless. Begin with prayer. So the first time we wrote down names of people that are outside of Christ, it might be one of those names. But also, there was a circle of people. They called Frank, right? F-R-A-N-C. Friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, and co-workers. Is there someone among that list that this week you could have a meal with them, you could go out to eat with them, you could have coffee with them? Is there someone? I want you to think of that person and say, God, help me to have an appointment with that person. And you don't have to share Christ. You just have to share love with the capacity of sharing Christ. Do you remember the story of Esther? She had to ask the king for a favor. And so she said, and she risked her life, actually, to do that. And so what was the favor she asked? Will you come to a dinner that I'm going to put on? Sure. And then during the dinner, she said, I have another favor. Can you come to another dinner that I put on? And then at the second dinner, she said, King, save me. This guy wants to kill us all. So, but she didn't say that at the first meeting. She said, and she invited to a dinner, and then to another dinner, she made it at the second request. So it doesn't have to be the first dinner. There was a fellow that we were training in Egypt, And his wife was just a natural evangelist, but he wasn't. And she said, this lady is about to receive Christ, so you need to share Christ with her husband. He accepted the challenge. Okay, I'll do that, he said. But I will invite him to the coffee house. So they went to the coffee house, and what do you drink at a coffee house? Tea. So he went to the coffee house, and they drank tea. And then he said, let's do it again tomorrow. So he invited him the next day to the coffee house, and they drank tea. And the second time, he shared Christ. And he was so excited. He said, I saw something I never thought I would see in my life in this country. A man sharing Christ with another man. And it was me. He was so excited. So that's our action step, right? Now, maybe you'll ask, why, if Bless is an evangelistic initiative, why are we eating two of the meals, two out of the three, with someone in our church? Because that's what the other thing is. Two times this week, meet with someone in our church that you don't know very well or you want to get to know better, and spend time with someone in our church. Why, if it's about evangelism, would we have two meetings with people in our church and only one meeting with someone outside of church? Good question. I'm glad you asked that. Why do you think that is? Oh, yeah, don't give the answer away yet. What are we inviting people to do? We're inviting people to join us in the family of God. And if they look and see a family that doesn't even know each other, that doesn't care about each other, that doesn't have any interaction with each other, it's not going to be a very good invitation. Because one of the ways that people actually feel invited and feel accepted and feel that God loves them is if they feel that way from the people of God. And so first, we have to love one another. And so, are there people in this church that you would like to get to know better? Or you need to get to know better? Could you make it this week? I'll have two meals or a sandwich or a coffee with someone in my church that I need to get to know better. Can you do that? How many of you can do that? That's the challenge that we want. So this week, 168 hours, 28 meals and snacks, or more or less, depending. Can you take three of those and make those evangelistic for building up the body, loving one another, and reaching to those outside? Can you do that? I'd like to know if you can, because that's our challenge. That's what the Bless Initiative is. And you know what? Isn't this the easiest part? Eating together, showing love, accepting people. That's what it is. It's pretty easy, isn't it? That's what we're asked to do right now. And that's the challenge. Now we're going to call for the communion. So could we have those who will serve come forward?